Welcome to the Quest of Fishing Adventures podcast, Chapter 4. Welcome yourselves back to another Quest Fishing Adventures podcast. I hope that you're doing well. And if you've been fishing since my last fishing podcast, let's hope that you put a few on the bank. So, let me tell you what happened when Ben joined me in a fishing trip to the Noisy Lake, the weekend just gone. My intentions were as good as always to actually record the podcast while I was there with Ben, and my intentions were to bring Ben into the podcast, but it didn't happen that way. And I can hear you asking why it didn't happen that way, because it just didn't. It was just one of them fishing trips when you go out with your friends and, you know, and you intend to like record the podcast with them, but it just doesn't happen. And I guess I just got carried away catching up with Ben, you know, and just doing that kind of thing. And I thought, well, you know, I have to record a podcast on what happened on this trip, because it was pretty epic for me. I'm that spoiler alert, I am absolutely buzzing on the back of this fishing trip, and I bet you can't guess why. Actually, you probably can. I was saying that thinking about it, but I'm not going to give it too much away, because just in case you've not guessed it. Anyway, so we turn up at the Noisy Lake, and I guess it's kind of like a pretty much of a no-brainer. I've taken Ben there before. He's fished the Honey Hole one with me. He's had some nice, he had a really nice carp out there in one of the podcasts, a really nice, like, half-toned, like, silvery-looking carp, absolutely beautiful. One of the fish I wish I'd caught from this lake, which I unfortunately haven't. So he knows about the Honey Hole one, and obviously I've been updating him on Honey Hole two and how well that has produced for me, even though it's not produced that greatly over the last couple of sessions. So as a good friend that I am, Ben says, right, where should we go? And I said, right, no, the right thing to do, as you know, Ben, we need to walk around the lake when we get there, you know, and see if we can see any signs of carp, you know, and all else fails. We do know Honey Hole 1 and 2, you know, are good spots, you know, and can produce carp. So I picked up Ben nice and early in the morning. We drove down to the lake, and we went for a walk around the lake to see if we could find anything. We couldn't see any carp at all. And it was, you know, it's quite unusual down there, I must be honest with you, because when you go to this lake in, you know, quite early in the morning, like before it's like, you know, morning, you do see morning. What the hell's that? Morning. I mean, like late morning, I should say that. Before late morning, you tend to see quite a few carp shows. You get the carp boshing out. And bear in mind, we're not in winter right now, so it's not really cold. You do expect to kind of see carp down there. So you kind of do see carp like boshing out on spots, you know, and you can kind of see roughly, you know, where they are on the lake. And we walk around this lake and we can see absolutely nothing. No signs whatsoever. Desperate as well, and trust me, we looked hard, we really did. We must have walked around the lake a couple of times trying to search these carp out, trying to find them, trying to see a sign, but we didn't see anything at all. So it just left us with really, to be honest with you, left us with a couple of options. Do we fish Honey Hole one or do we fish Honey Hole two? Now, Ben wanted, in his head, he wanted to fish Honey Hole one, which I totally get, to be fair, because of the fish that is produced for him in there from me taking him down there, and obviously the carp that I had from there. Even though I told him how well the Honey Hole 2 has produced carp, but I obviously was honest, not going to lie, and I said, like, you know, it hasn't really produced that much the last couple of sessions I've been down there. So he goes, right, let's fish Honey Hole 1. I said, yeah, fine, I'm up for that totally. He goes, right, we need to flip a coin, and who's going to, you know, who's going to fished the spot in there. I mean, like before in the past, me and Ben have fished the honey hole one together and literally put a rod out each. And we've also fished it and fished one rod and literally taken in turns fishing the honey hole with one rod, you know. But as a good friend I am, I said, no, Ben, you can have it. You can have it today. I'm a good mate. You know I am. I'm a geezer, you know, lovely friend. You can fish it today. And, you know, I'll plop in the shrimp next door and see if I can get something in there, which I'll talk about in a second. Literally in a second, really. So, yeah, Ben went in honey hole one and I decided to go to the swim next door to lift. Now, I have to be brutally honest from the start. I really don't particularly like the swim next door. But for me, I kind of felt like, okay, I've done a lot of time this season on honey hole one. I've done a lot of time this season on honey hole two. It'd be nice to break away from it and try and find something else, or try and make something else happen on the lake. Now, I have fished this swim next door, which is why I know I don't like it too much. The reason being, I haven't caught from it. Alex has come down. I've seen Alex catch from this swim twice now, I think. So let's do my rods first, because to be fair, I think Ben actually got his rods out before me. So we'll go back to that in a minute. We're going to whiz forward in time, probably about 45 minutes to an hour maybe. So I'm in this swim here. I know there's a massive like willow tree that really comes out over the lake on the left hand side, and it has produced, as I said, Alex, it has produced a carp. Alex in the past over there, I've seen fish move around there. So it looks carpy, it really does. So I put it on the tip of the willow tree, I bushwhacked it out, put on the good old noodle rig, SLK wafter, 18 mil, you know the score, crushed up boily on top, pushed it out, put it onto the tree there. And in front of me, I wanted to find, you know, something out there. So this lake has a big gravel bar, quite other side, more or less the other side of the lake from where we are now. It goes straight across it. Literally, it's proper shallow. Really, really shallow on top of that. I didn't want to go on that. So I come off that, probably about four rod lengths off it, and I found a nice hard patch down, and I spotted out on top of that boily. Too far away for me to bushwhacker out, as you guys know, I do love the bushwhacker. So I spotted that load of boys, whacked that on top, literally chucked out on that. Did I go noodle? Oh, yeah, I did actually go noodle on it, because it was quite a hard bottom. I figured it would, you know, it should be fine. So I put a noodle on that with a bolt rig, a lead clip system. So I whacked that out there with obviously a PVO bag on that, just to try and stop any tangles or, like, you know, snagging up to any debris that may be on the bottom of the lake down there. So I put that one out. Lovely jubbly. So let's go back in time now. So now my rods are out pretty much after Ben's, but I just kind of want to get out of the way just to put you know, tell a bit of a story and all that. So Ben obviously put the first rod out into the honey hole one. Well, you know, it has to be done. What was he fishing? He was fishing a hinge rig with DNA bug. I think, yeah, he went for bug. And I can't remember if it's a pop-up or bottom bait now, what he was using. I generally don't know, but I know it was SLK. He was putting it out. And he put a fair bit of oil in the bushwhacker, to be fair. Bushwhacked it out, dropped it in the honey hole. And I would say within about 5 or 6 minutes, because he hadn't got the old rod out, he had a run straight away. So gets obviously hooks into this fish. The fish obviously takes him straight into the snags, as they do in that. They love taking you in the snags in there. They really do. But yeah, Ben battled hard, got this fish out and was playing it in front of him, and eventually landed this carp, which was a mirror carp. And I said, oh, Ben, that's good. You know, like, there's, you know, to be fair, I've not actually caught many mirrors in this lake. It tends to be mainly the commons that I'm catching, so it's nice for me. It was nice to see, you know, a mirror again in the noisy lake. How big was this carp? It wasn't big at all. I think we guesstimated about, because I joked about it. I did take the mick a little bit, but as you do, It must have been about £6 or something. Well, it was one of the small ones. But I was trying to say, look, come on, Ben. Like, at the end of the day, you know, you've got air, you've got the rod out, you've got a fish straight away, you're off the mark. You know, it's good. It's a good sign. It's a good sign that, you know, that you know, this could produce, the carp is still in here on this side, and it could produce us a few carp. So he put that, he took a photo. I didn't think he was going to take a photo, but it was actually quite a nice looking little mirror. So he took a photo and put this fish back. He then put the bushwhacker back out again on the honey hole one. Then he had a bit of a nightmare putting the bushwhacker out with this on the second rod, which he literally put in the bull rushes straight in front, which has produced carp for me and produced carp for Ben. In fact, he did that £29 common that I had on the bull rushes there. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I think it actually did that two-tone carp that I mentioned earlier on that spot there. So he decided to put it there, but he decided to fish well off the reeds, because I said, I'm not too sure, Ben, what it's going to be like in there. I have picked up a bit of debris the last few times I'd fished it, and bear in mind, this was quite a while ago. So he'd come off quite a bit from the bull rushes. I think in the theory as well that, you know, potentially if he hooks up a carp, it could straight could take him into the bull rushes it is, and he could lose the carp in there. So he dropped it on there, and there you go. Then at that point, then that's when I put my rods out. I don't know why I had to tell you that the other way round, but in my head, I just decided to tell you that way round, but hey ho. So yeah, all four rods are out now. And okay, if I recall, and I should really remember it, I don't remember too well. Now, he actually picked up a run on his left-hand side rod in the bull rushes, probably about 45 minutes after that first fish, ripped off again. Ben hit into it. It didn't really go into the bull rushes that badly. So, you know, it did actually give him a cracking fight. I remember it, pulling in front of him, pulling around to left. And so I said, Ben, mate, you've got to watch that. They've got the overhanging tree to the left there. If it goes in there, mate, you are going to get snagged up on it. And potentially, you know, worst case scenario, snap up and leave a hook in the fish's mouth. But Ben manages to sort out, got the carp out back in the middle, played it again and managed to net. And it was a common, I believe, if I recall, it was a common. And yeah, again, it was another small one. I remember taking the mick out of him again. It's probably only went about £8 or something like that. Didn't weigh it. Took a photo. Took a photo of it and slipped that one back. So things were looking up. Things were looking good. Things were looking like the honey hole one really was going to start producing some carp. I think at that point felt a little bit guilty that he'd had that two already, and I was trying to comfort him and say, no, mate, it's fine. You know, you don't drive and stuff. I've fished this lake quite a lot this season. I've had my fair share out. You know, it's your turn. I went into all that again. So we carried on there. And hour by hour, maybe like 3-4 hours, like, went by with no fish whatsoever. And like, you know, it left questions of, you know, why, what's happened, why aren't we catching any carp, you know, what's gone on, you know. And we just couldn't work out, we couldn't fathom why we weren't catching any more fish. I on my left-hand side rod that was fishing on the tip of the willow, I was picking up a few little bleeps there. I kind of got a little bit excited. Like, I think at one point I had like a bleep, 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 like that. It wasn't a hookup. It probably was a liner, to be fair. And I will say that. I think every carp hanger would say that they feel really confident in their rigs. They feel like if a carp picked up their rig, that the carp would be hooked, and job done. But as you probably know, if you've watched a lot of these underwater videos, people get done all the time, and in many occasions they don't even know that they've been done. Cleaned the spot, cleaned, done, no fish, you know, on the hook, no fish in the net, no fish, you know, taking a photo of. So yeah, I had that big bleep at one point, but in my head I was like, you know, I wasn't being negative, but I was just kind of like, this swim is just not right, it doesn't produce. I did move my right hand side rod around a little bit in the spot. Throughout those good few hours, just to try and find another spot. Yes, maybe I could have sat on it. What's right or wrong? Trying to find the carp. Fishing with Ben, so it didn't leave the option to go wandering or anything. So it got to like, I think late early afternoon, I'd say, at this point, Ben decided to go for a walk around the lake to try and find the carp. He also took a few boilies as well to try and bait up a few little spots to see if, you know, to see if, like, if he went back later on, if you know, if the honey hole one and my swim wasn't doing anything, you know, to see if any fish had taken the baits there. So he went round, but he come back, and to be fair, he didn't find any carp. Not to be fair, unfortunately, he didn't find any carp at all. But he did bait up a few swims, you know, in hope, you know, if nothing happens here, that if he goes round again, he might find something. And same again, to be fair, you know, a few hours, you know, crept by, no fish on the bank at all. And it was quite concerning at that point, you know, what's going on, why, couldn't figure it out, you know, both very competent anglers, in my opinion, just couldn't work out what, you know, what wasn't going on. So, like, now we're into, like, probably like the late afternoon now. Ben decides to go for another walk again. Makes sense. Check the spots, see if anything else has come on the spots there. See if you can see any carp. When he gets back, he goes, "Lee, I think I found some. I've seen a few moving around in honey hole two." So it was a no-brainer. It really was a no-brainer that, you know, we pack up and we go around there and see if we can pull one out. You know, he's found carp. We'd be lazy anglers if we decided to stay there and not move and give it a go. So we decided to move around there. But we did say this time, we said, look, we agreed that we both would put a rod out in the swim because, you know, I've fished two rods there, not very comfortably. We've talked about that in my other podcast, but I've put two rods out there and had carp off both the rods in that swim. So there is kind of like room for it. So we went in the swim. Ben actually, I was on the right hand side, but I actually put my rod in the hole in that tree where I've had most of my carp from. Now, I'll be honest with you, you know, I'm not skanky at all. Ben's like one of my best mates. You know, I tell him everything. I did tell him that, you know, that's where I was catching the carp, and I did give him an option, but he decided that, you know, he said, fine, you can go in there, it's not a problem at all. I'll go to the left of you, which is right in the snags there. Right in a really proper snaggy area where there's definitely like a tree down in the water there. So in there, I mean, it's all carpy. It's all proper carpy. Look in that swim and it just screams out carp all day long without a shadow of a doubt. And he had seen him in there, and he'd seen him down that end, that little bit there as well anyway. So it kind of makes sense. I think that's why he probably wanted to go in there, and fair play. So he put both rods out, exactly the same again. Both bushwhacked them out because it's so close in there. Makes sense. Dropped them down, felt the bottom, felt good, felt nice. Felt like we were going to get a carp. And nothing really happened for like the first hour. Ben went for a walk to see if he could see like round the side there. You can actually look down into the snag, see if you can see the fish there. I think he said he could see a couple of fish mooching around there, which just didn't make sense, you know, why we weren't catching. He come back. And at that point, I was like, do you know what, Ben? I actually have got some lobworms with me. If you haven't listened to the last podcast, go back and listen to that one. I do a bit of lobworm fishing, wild carp. Well, actually, I didn't do any carp fishing myself, to be fair. I took lobworms to catch carp from, but I didn't put my carp rods out. Anyway, I'm confusing the story. Go back and listen to the last podcast anyway. So I had some worms left over from that trip, which actually was the day before this trip anyway. And I took them down there and I said, look, Ben, I'm going to literally just drop a lobworm down on my carp, my carp float rod lobworm set up in the tree just to the right of me, and just see if I can fluke a carp out on it. So I literally dropped that down there on a spot, bloody deep, really was, right in front of me. Didn't realize it was that deep, that close in there, but it really was. And the water depth's down at the moment, believe it or not. And I chucked a good few handful of pellets over the top, see if I can entice sink in. I think at that point then, I think Ben had, that was it. This was a complete tease. So the rods at that point, I'd say probably been out for an hour, maybe an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. I can't remember, maybe 2 hours. Let's call it 2 hours, I'm saying. But Ben's spot was fizzing up like no tomorrow. Proper carp fizzing on top. I mean carp, proper carp fizzing on top. It was like, oh my God, it's going to happen any minute now. And it didn't. And then it went quiet again. And the next thing you know, it's fizzing up on my spot, like proper carp bubbles fizzing up on my spot. And I was like, what? Because it was just before us. So we're like, what do we do? Do we like re-put them out again? Is something not right? Are they not sitting right? You know, you're questioning all that. So it's fizzing up on my spot, and we, you know, nothing happened on my spot as well. I was like, no way, no way. So I think then, I think we actually did, we brought them both in and we put them back out again, because, you know, I'm like, Ben, like, if it's fizzing up that much, you know, we've either been done or our rigs aren't presenting right. Something's not right. We should have picked up a carp. So pulled them in. I think we both had a bit of debris on them, to be fair. So maybe we had been done and the carp had spat it out or done whatever it's done and just stopped anything like from us catching carp. Put them back out again on the two spots again. And this point now, it's proper later on in the day now. The sun's starting to go down. And then my float rod, the float goes down. Like, it just goes down. And I hit into this fish. And I go, Ben, I've got one. It's not a carp. I can tell you now it's not a carp. But it's given me a little good fight. I said to Ben afterward, I said, it felt like it wasn't big, but not big enough to lift out the water. You'd need to like put a net in. That's what it felt like, how I can best describe it. But because I felt like it was so hard, I had the two rods out there. I was in a small space there and the fish just took me into the snags to the right, and it snagged me up in, and I could feel it on there because I'd lead the line and then it would start pulling. I was like, oh no. And then eventually I just pulled through and it popped out its mouth, hook came out, and it was gone. So then I was like, oh no. So like I re-got that ready, and at that point Ben had made some dinner. So I basically had a break for about 15 minutes, ate some nice chicken and rice that Ben made me, absolutely banging, really nice. Thank you, Ben. I had that, and then put my float rod back out again while we debated why we weren't catching any carp from this swim. We just couldn't put a finger on it. And this point is dark now. It is dark now. There's not, you know, there's not long left really till we can fish till, and we both know it. And it's like, I'm like, I need a fish. I need a fish. I've blanked, you know what I mean? I need a fish. And I was gutted that I'd lost that fish on my float. What do you mean? Even if it wasn't a carp, I was still gutted. As you guys know, I love catching all species of fish. Now, I think it was a perch. At the time, I think it's a perch. No, I thought it was a perch by the take. But the weird thing is when I brought it in, my line was quite slimy. And I was like, that is like bream. You know, bream are really slimy. But I thought it doesn't make sense because it was like, you know, the fight it was giving me, you know, I just didn't. Why I couldn't be a bream anyway. So yeah, so I went backwards and forwards then, didn't I, the story. So then all of a sudden my float goes down again and I hit into it and I said, Ben, I'm not gonna let this one get in the snags. It's trying to get in the snags. I'm playing it. And like the fight, it's not a long fight at all because I'm quite close in. I can tell you now it wasn't a carp because you can tell it's not a carp, but it was giving me a cracking little fight. And then I pull it out and oh my God, it was an eel. Now, a lot of you out there are going to say, oh my God, an eel. I don't like eels. But for me, I was absolutely buzzing. Why? Because I've never caught an eel before and I've always wanted to catch an eel. It's another fish I can tick off my list that I've caught, you know, what type of species I've caught. And I was absolutely buzzing. It was a first for me. I didn't expect it at all in the slightest. But it was a PB. There you go. It was the PB. Didn't weigh it. How big was it? A better photo would be on Instagram. Go and look on my Instagram, Quest Fishing Adventures Podcast. I'll put a picture in there of it. It wasn't big at all, but I was absolutely buzzing. And thankfully, it came off the hook so easy. But oh my word, if you guys or the guys or ladies and gentlemen that have caught an eel before will know, they are so hard to hold. They are so slimy. They slip out. You can't grip them. And that's why I knew they were, because when I've been fishing with Alex many moons ago, I'm bought on a pond water and a lake in there. We were carp fishing. He caught a lake. He caught an eel on there, and we struggled to hold it. And like, they are hard to hold. But I got lucky. I trust me. If you haven't caught one, I got extremely lucky that the hook came out so easily. So eventually I managed to get control of this eel somehow, and I got some dodgy photos because it's hard to like hold it. It's like present it out like you'd hold it like a carp or anything like that. But I managed to get a couple of dodgy photos from it. Ben got a cracking video of me trying to bloody hold it. It's just really so difficult. But I managed to get a couple, well, Ben managed to get a couple of photos from me. But to be fair, I was absolutely buzzing. I was made up on the back of it. As I said already, as you guys know, I love catching all different species of fish. And for me, that was great. It's a new one for me, a big tick in the box, absolutely buzzing the back of it. So I managed to catch one. I didn't blink. And it wasn't long after that, we decided to call it a day. We had the two carp in the morning. Ben had the two carp in the morning. I managed to catch my first eel. I was absolutely static. So that was pretty much it, really. That was pretty much it. So it was an unexpected ending to the story that I never expected. But what I will say is, which is why I mentioned my line of when I lost that first one was really slimy. That must have been an eel as well. It must have been an eel as well, because obviously eels are slimy. At the time, I didn't even think about it. But yeah, I think that was an eel. The first one I lost was an eel because of the fight it gave me. Bream don't fight like that at all. Not unless they're really big. But no, it was fighting. It was proper tugging. Definitely. I really think that was a... Anyway, even if it was a bream, it doesn't matter. I lost it anyway. The main thing is I'm buzzing. Anyway, I'm rambling on about a load of rubbish now that you're probably not even interested anyway. So I'm going to end that podcast here. And I thank you once again for taking the time to listen to my podcast. Really do appreciate the continued support that you guys give me, listening to my ramblings on and my fishing trips with me and my friends and what happens and what doesn't happen. And hopefully you may learn something from it. And as I always say, please send me any messages on Instagram, anything like that. Any tips and advice are always welcome. If you've got any questions, I'll obviously give them back as well and help as best I can. I'm no expert. I'm just like a lot of people out there, just doing my thing. Anyway, guys, thank you once again. If you go fishing from now until my next podcast, let's hope you put loads in the bank. Take care of yourself. Tight lines. And I'll speak to you in my next one. If you're not done already, guys, you could do me a massive favour and hit me up on Instagram. Just search Quest Fishing Adventures. On there, I'm uploading some photos and some short videos. You can also ask me questions or give me some advice too. That'd be absolutely mega. Anyway, take care of yourself, guys, and tight lines, and see you in my next podcast.